Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by Thundercat Technology. Here's today's moderator, Tom Temin.
Hello, and welcome to today's episode of Federal Insights. I'm Eric White. The Internet of Things idea continues to expand, and many agencies are giving IoT a fresh look. One reason is the availability of new enabling technologies. These include multifunction sensors that streamline IoT device placement, more practical middle devices such as Wi-Fi, Bluetooth combo hotspots, and power over Ethernet. They can supply up to 90 watts. Plus, agencies are increasing their use of commercial cloud computing while taking advantage of highly capable edge computing. While these tools may still be in the beginning stages, there are several federal researchers who have been exploring the potential use cases for these devices. One of them is Jeff Booth, who is the director of the Homeland Security Department's Sensors and Platforms Technology Center. He spoke with Federal News Network's Jared Serbu about his work.
Jeff, thanks for taking the time for this. I really appreciate it. And I think the best way to open this up is to just ask you, what are some of the most exciting, interesting, promising IoT projects that S&T has been working on of late? We see these kind of sporadically in public announcements, but we obviously don't know everything that you know. So tell us from your perspective, what are some of the most interesting IoT use cases at the moment?
Sure, Jared, I'd be happy to. But let me give you a little bit of background context that leads to some of our current activities.
Sure.
I mean, the federal government's been assessing and using IoT devices for many years. 2015, the Government Accountability Office performed a government-wide audit of IoT in the context of smart cities, smart communities. And, you know, they published their findings on policies and implications. They then went on to do an assessment, a technology assessment of the Internet of Things across the government. And they identified a number of different areas. There were some 15 departments and agencies that participated. And they provided an output for that. And most recently, in November of last year, the government formally established the Federal Working Group on IoT. It's led by Commerce and a number of other departments and agencies. And what they're looking at is how the federal government can benefit from utilizing IoT, the use of the technology itself, preparedness and the ability of federal agencies to adopt the technology. But they're also looking at the security measures that the federal agencies may need to take to safely secure IoT, including, you know, measures that ensure the security of critical infrastructure and the ability to enhance the resiliency of federal systems against cyber threats and IoT. So based on that, DHS has been researching and applying, you know, IoT technology for many years as well. I work in the Science and Technology Directorate, where we performed an IoT interoperability research initiative where small businesses and academia from Australia, Canada, Germany, the UK, and several in the United States used a first responder use case to demonstrate how IoT sensors can be interoperable using open standards. The research actually led to some open standards with the Open Geospatial Consortium who participated in the research. Now, many of the DHS use cases come from our components using the sensors in an operational context. Organizations like Customs and Border Protection and Transportation Security Administration and the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency. But from an applied research perspective, I manage the Sensors and Platforms Technology Center, where we're researching and evaluating IoT technologies in a number of different areas from an applied research. One example, we just finished a five-year research initiative where, through our Small Business Innovative Research Program, we funded the design, development, and operational test and evaluation of low-cost IoT flood sensors. Over the course of the research, we distributed nearly 1,000 sensors to federal, state, county, municipal government, emergency management agencies, academia, a not-for-profit organization, for operational tests and evaluation, and to demonstrate the efficacy of the sensors. The Federal Emergency Management Agency was sponsored the research, and now flood sensors are actually allowed to be purchased as a part of FEMA's post-disaster mitigation funding. So we try to take a holistic approach to R&D, where we look at the technical, commercial, and policy aspects to maximize the impact and the benefit of our investments.
That's all super interesting background. And just to back up a second, within that federal working group, was DHS S&T sort of assigned, or did you come to a particular role within the working group? How do you play here?
I'm not involved in the working group. We provide input to the DHS representatives. I believe they're in the policy office. But well, when they have a research question, they'll reach out to us for input.
Got it. And some of the use cases that I believe you've been working on are not necessarily in an obvious way connected to a DHS component. One that I noticed a little while ago is you guys were working on sensors that can help, hopefully, as I understood it, try and do some early warning for developing wildland fires. And unless there's one I'm not thinking of, I don't think there's any DHS components that have a major wildland fire suppression mission. So it sounds like you're involved in some things as well that don't directly touch DHS components. Is that right?
That's correct. The Homeland Security in enterprise, if you will, is not just made up of DHS components, right? It's state, local, emergency responders, critical infrastructure, owner operators, if you will. So it's not just an internal focus. So the example you made with the wildfires is a good example of that. So this past, I guess, about year and a half, we've been designing, developing, and operationally testing wildland fire sensors, working with two small businesses to determine ignition points for wildfires prior to them becoming significant fires or potentially catastrophic events. The sensors, they look at like chemical compositions of the smoke generated from an ignition and smoldering and fires, along with particulate sizes, which will give us an indication of the level of the fire condition. These combined with like environmental factors like humidity levels, wind speed, and using artificial intelligence, we expect to be able to identify fire ignitions. One example is where during a controlled burn in Colorado, we left the sensors in the field after the burn to monitor the conditions. Later that night, a fire reignited and our sensors were triggered, allowing the fire department to respond and put out the flare up 37 minutes before the first 911 call. Also working with Southern California Edison Utility to see how the wildland fire sensors can be mounted on their existing utility pole infrastructure. So Cal Edison has been a great partner to work with and sees the need to assess all types of technologies as part of their resiliency posture and community involvement to prevent wildfire. So you're absolutely correct. We work a lot with public-private partnerships, industry, owner operators to test and evaluate sensors as they apply to their particular areas.
And the wildfire, not to dwell on this particular one for the entire interview, but that seems like it might illustrate a couple of what might be common challenges across the IoT space at the edge, because the areas where wildland fires are common or more likely to happen probably also present challenges like, you know, difficulty accessing cellular communications, maybe not access to power. So were those challenges in this particular setting, and how did you overcome them?
That's a great question. We're still in the early phases of the research. Power is a concern. Obviously, most of our field deployable sensors are battery and solar harvesting. Some of them use, LTE coverage, cell coverage. We have the flood sensors that looked at Iridium satellite linkages as well. From a power standpoint, there's a lot of trade-offs with power. For instance, the form factor itself. So when you have solar harvesting and field deployable sensors, you know, how do you sustain that over long durations of time, because you want to keep your costs down. So We've also tested a number of methods in energy sequencing, as opposed to looking at bigger, better batteries and solar panels, which we've started to do this year. But we look at power sequencing. And what I mean by that is the sensors basically, in the flood sensor case, will turn off, right? They'll go to sleep for 5 minutes. They'll wake up, take a reading, communicate the reading, then go back to sleep. So this power setting allows the sensors to be deployed longer durations. We actually test the sensor to ANSI standards such that the sensor has to operate for 7 days in a completely blackout environment. But still, you have different triggers that we can reduce the power consumption by, you know, once it reaches a low threshold, to turn off the diagnostics monitoring of the sensor and just allow it to capture the reading. So again, there are trade-offs with power harvesting as well.
That's Jeff Booth, director of the Homeland Security Department Sensors and Platforms Technology Center, speaking with Federal News Network's Jared Serbu. We'll have the rest of our interview with him after a quick break. I'm Eric White.
IoT solutions are reshaping government entities to provide better services, greater safety, efficient transit, and smarter public infrastructures. Thundercat Technology, in partnership with Dell and Ruckus, provide unified networks to streamline all access points and are bringing Internet of Things into one singular network. Thundercat, Dell, and Ruckus can offer this unified solution to government agencies at an enterprise scale. Learn about our IoT experience and capabilities at thundercattech.com/delltech. Innovate, grow, know. Thundercat, Dell, and Ruckus.
We continue our interview with Jeff Booth, director of the Homeland Security Department Sensors and Platforms Technology Center, who spoke with Federal News Network's Jared Serbu.
Since you're the sensor guy, let me just ask you a general question about sensors. Have there been technological advances in the last few years that have made those kinds of sensing capabilities more practical, more applicable to small form factor applications like you would need in that wildfire context, in that flood context?
Well, there have been. Our effort with the flood sensors was basically a 5-year effort, and we went through several different types of battery size, condition, and form factors, as well as the solar panels that were ultimately embedded into the device itself. We're looking now at the wildland fire sensors, and we'll be looking at different solar power configurations, the traditional flat screen, if you will, solars, just really to test to see the efficacy of the sensors and their algorithms. But ultimately, we're going to need to look at solar panels and batteries that are more flexible, longer life durations. You don't want to set up fire sensors and with Santa Ana winds that all of a sudden the solar panels become more like wind sails. So we're looking at flexible panels that could wrap around a pole, as an example, as one mechanism to try to address that.
And looking a little bit into the future, Jeff, what are some of the main research areas that S&T is focused on for possible future technologies that could be deployed in an IoT space?
Great question. There are a number of areas that we're looking at. Let me give you an example. So for the past 3 years, we've been working with critical infrastructure owner operators to integrate a variety of IoT devices with their infrastructure for public safety. Working with the Virginia Innovation Partnership Corporation, which is a Commonwealth of Virginia chartered not-for-profit, we're looking at a number of industrial IoT use cases. Using Texas A&M's Disaster City, we showed how first responders could alter their building entry and improve response time to fire and subsequent search and rescue. At the George Mason University, we deployed sensors and held active shooter exercises with state, local, and university law enforcement, where, you know, officers were provided live updates. We're currently working with the Capital One Arena and its owner-operator Monumental Sports in a public-private partnership. We've developed a three-dimensional digital twin of the facility, installed a variety of environmental sensors, and produced airflow models over time to show the dynamic changes in conditions with the building's HVAC and management systems in between events like hockey games, basketball, concerts, and other events. The modeling with the IoT sensors and resulting air handling refresh rates allowed the arena to demonstrate their improved air quality measures they were applying during peak COVID conditions. Because public safety was their primary concern for them and the attendees and the athletes. I want to stress a couple points here on this partnership, though. Mm-hmm. The Capital One Arena and Monumental Sports Organization were model corporate citizens with this partnership for public safety being the priority. But while Cap One and Monumental's primary concern was public safety and improving the fan experience, one of DHS goals was to show the cost economies of applying IoT technologies for both operations and public safety. So the vast majority of critical infrastructure in the United States is privately held. So the notion of deploying new technologies for public safety is a trade-off for corporate expenses versus perceived risk benefit. So while we focused upon air quality and refresh cycles, we also wanted to identify the cost efficiencies through, you know, improved operational procedures for their building automation systems, including HVAC, lighting, equipment operations, and maintenance. We could demonstrate performance improvements and cost reductions, then the public safety aspects could be offset, and infrastructure owner operators would not have to balance the trade-offs for investing. So we were able to demonstrate performance and operational improvements for the arena that paid for the cost of us developing the technologies. And we're looking to further enhance the benefits of the IoT technologies for other venues as well.
I wanted to ask about sort of funding pathways for these promising technologies once you identify them. In the examples that you just talked about, I mean, if you can show a private company that they're going to achieve cost economies, it's pretty obvious that they're just going to take that and run with it, and funding's not an issue. But in other areas that are more applicable to the private sector, like you mentioned the active shooter exercises and giving live updates to law enforcement personnel, do those kinds of things, if they prove successful, end up getting funded through DHS grants, or does some other agency have to come up with money to actually operationalize them? How does that tend to work?
That's a really good question, and it's always a challenge, right, the funding, because the federal government can't afford to fund everything. It's just not practical. So the example, again, is like Monumental Sports and Cap One Arena. They work very closely with law enforcement. They've actually used the facility for training and other activities. So from the law enforcement response, or Blue Force, if you will, tracking, what they'll be able to do is to provide information to law enforcement as well as their in-building security forces, such that in the event of an incident or a response of some kind, they can provide that before the Blue Force arrives, right? The funding of it, though, is always going to be a challenge. So how do we make these technologies where they're, again, cost neutral, or perhaps, you know, the day-to-day return on the investment offsets the trade-offs for the investment they'd have to make solely for public safety? So there are granting mechanisms available through a number of different agencies. But again, when we look at, you know, the technologies, we just don't look at the technology for technology's sake. We look at its commercial viability. We look at the policies associated with implementing those. And we try to come up with a complete package that addresses all those. Because the old notion of build it and they will come, they won't come. They can't afford to come. So we're looking at the entire way of the technology.
That's interesting. Before we run out of time, I definitely want to make sure we spend a bit of time on security. As you mentioned, that's a major focus of the federal working group as well. What are some of the things you've been working on to help secure all the stuff that we've been talking about?
We actually have a number of different activities underway right now. to look at these, we've established two IoT test beds to begin to address these concerns. In addition to the CAP1 arena test bed I mentioned, we're also involved in a public-private partnership with the Commonwealth of Virginia's VIPC, as well as Stafford County, Virginia, and several industrial partners such as Verizon, Cisco, and a large number of small businesses. The Stafford County Community Test Bed already has in place test infrastructure, including IoT edge devices, connectivity, 5G transmission, zero trust architectures, appliances, as well as data monitoring and collection capabilities. In fact, the Stafford Smart Community Test Bed was just announced by the Smart City Connect organization as a global top 50 community hub for its transformative work in smart cities. So we'll be working at the test bed. We're also a partner with the test bed. And this year we'll be looking at a number of different cyber implementations of the technology, hardening devices, protecting the transmission of data in transit, looking at industrial control systems and its impact and how to shield those control systems from cyber attacks using these test beds. But the unique part about this, it's not just a federal activity. It's a federal, state, local, and private sector investment. So the lessons learned from those different elements will be able to then be shared across their respective communities, as well as helping DHS provide guidance to the broader, in this case, critical infrastructure sector of our economy.
And we've heard so much about how 5G and possible future wireless networking technologies are just inherently more secure for that data in transport part of the problem. How much of the overall cybersecurity challenge do you feel like is going to actually end up being solved by the standards that are being developed by private industry?
So, unfortunately, technology moves faster than standards bodies can address.
Yeah.
So that whole leapfrog approach to technology and standards is extremely challenging. I think what will end up happening is while the standards bodies will continue to move forward, and we have our own standards contributions as well, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to have to work with industry on emerging technologies that don't have standards associated with them. So working with industry to address some of the changes in the technology and building defenses early on or as built, as opposed to retrofitting technologies to, say, legacy systems, which is inherently flawed, I think is the approach we'll end up having to take.
You've been listening to our interview with Jeff Booth, director of the Homeland Security Department's Sensors and Platforms Technology Center. He was interviewed by Federal News Network's Jared Serbu. If you missed any part of this show, you can find it online. Head to federalnewsnetwork.com and search Federal Insights. I'm Eric White.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, sponsored by Thundercat Technology on Federal News Network.
IoT solutions are reshaping government entities to provide better services, greater safety, efficient transit, and smarter public infrastructures. Thundercat Technology, in partnership with Dell and Ruckus, provide unified networks to streamline all access points and are bringing Internet of Things into one singular network. Thundercat, Dell, and Ruckus can offer this unified solution to government agencies at an enterprise scale. Learn about our IoT experience and capabilities at thundercattech.com/delltech. Innovate, grow, know. Thundercat, Dell, and Ruckus.